evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your latest installment of the Gelsnet Weekly Podcast, hosted by myself, Craig Gray. We are the independent Rangers podcast, made for fans, by fans, and all of our content is absolutely free. You can get us over on Twitter at Gelsnet Online and on the website at gelsnet.co.uk, where you've got access to the forum, some articles, and a wonderful history archive as well. Just before I introduce my guest this evening, I need to give a shout out to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They're a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company and have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. And we're absolutely delighted that they're backing your pod. You can get them over at forestprecisioneng.com. And you can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, a stunning new hospitality area within the historic main stand. For information on how to book this unique and intimate space, you can email the club via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Joined this evening, folks, to preview tomorrow's crunch tie with Hearts by Mr. Scott Bradley. Scott, I know it's late on a Sunday night, but you're not away for a lie down yet.
No, not at all, mate. No, but apparently I also have another team in Edinburgh. Had a good wee lie down today, that's for sure. But no, I'm doing well, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Can't complain. I mean, it's been a while. It's been a bit earlier than I think the last time you were on, were you saying it was we were playing Hibs and Bilbao in the same week? So a lot's changed in a year.
Yes, definitely. So I was looking up earlier on. I was like, when's the last time I was on McCraig? And it was over a year ago when Barry was in charge. And then I remember we lost 2-1 to Hibs. Then I think we drew 0-0 with Bilbao in that game. But yeah, a lot has changed, mate. But obviously, we're in a title race as it stands for now. But might not be in a title race come this time tomorrow.
Aye, Barry, just saying, don't think we'd be in a worse position if he was in charge now, put it that way. But obviously we joked about that game in Edinburgh earlier on. It was like a training match. I mean, I was speaking to an acquaintance of mine who's a Celtic fan, and he was at the game and he was saying the same. It was just a boring training match. But we need to talk about that and the aspect of tomorrow. We can't help it, even though it is a Rangers podcast, because of how close everything is. But how do you approach this game tomorrow now? We're in a pretty unique situation where if we draw or win, we could potentially be handing Celtic a straight path to the title. If we lose the game, we are out of it, obviously, but you know, you keep Hearts in it at the top of the league, and then you try and stop Celtic winning it next week at Parkhead. It's a horrible situation to be in, but for me, we need to go out and take care of our own business and just go and win the game, Scott.
Absolutely, I agree. Because see, having this mindset of like, yeah, if we lose tomorrow, it won't be too bad, because that means it won't really benefit Celtic, and then that means Hearts have a good chance. That's a pure loser mentality to have, and we're Rangers Football Club, mate. We want to take care of our own business and make sure we win the league. Like when I see some Rangers fans saying, yeah, as long as Celtic don't win it, I'm like, yeah, like, if we're out of it, of course you'd want Hearts to win it, but we want to win the league. Like, yeah, it'll be great for Scottish football if Hearts win the title, but I don't care. I want Rangers to win this league, mate. So I think tomorrow, mate, it is the Rangers' biggest domestic game in years. And who would have thought we'd be saying that, like, when we're playing Hearts, right? But it just shows you how bonkers this season has been. Tomorrow, I think Rangers just need to go for it. No messing about. Rangers need to be in the front foot, because a draw tomorrow, I don't think that's going to be enough. Technically, Rangers would still be in it, but Rangers would just have a very small chance at that time. But Rangers need to go for it. But one thing that does concern me, Craig, is like I just done a TikTok live there, right, and had a lot of Rangers fans come in, and we're all saying the exact same thing, right? We're trying to predict the lineup for tomorrow. No one can really predict it, because Danny Rowe overthinks too much, and I do like Danny Rowe a lot. But as of late, he's been overthinking things. He's making decisions that make no sense. And I'm just worried he's going to overthink it tomorrow, when really he should just put out all the big guns tomorrow. In terms of the team that I would go with, I would start Romans. I know Romans has just came back from injury, along with Nadiri. Like, start them. If they start to look a bit fatigued or they're not really up to it, then just take them off. But go with the big guns tomorrow and just go for it right from the word go. Because this is a must win. The pressure's on, and a lot of people, as we know, have been questioning this group's mentality, and rightly so. And if they don't get the job done tomorrow, like see the whole thing about them being bottle merchants and not having the mentality to play for Rangers, it would have been totally warranted, you know. And that's the thing. Hearts are going to be right up for it as well. Tynecastle is going to be electric, so it's going to be interesting to see how these players deal with that intense atmosphere, because Hearts, they'll be feeling themselves. They'll be like, yeah, we can actually battle this lot, because they've beaten us twice before this season, and they're unbeaten at Tynecastle all season in the league. So tomorrow, man, like, even before the Motherwell game, it was always going to be a big one, but it's going to be even bigger now, where Rangers have to win. It's like win or bust.
You're right, win or bust. That is, look, in terms of the whole lying down tomorrow thing, I've done a sort of back of a fag packet calculation. If we win our next three games, Tynecastle, Celtic Park, and at home to Hibs, which I get, you might be thinking now it's unlikely, right, but can still happen. If we win our next three games, then going into the last day, even if Hearts and Celtic win the rest of their games, you're looking at worst case scenario, it will either be us or Hearts that win the league. Now, I think you get to a point there where I think Celtic would be 2 points behind Hearts. 3 points behind Hearts. Hearts have got a better goal difference. And we'd be 2 points ahead of Celtic and one behind Hearts. So we'd effectively need Celtic to get a result against Hearts. The only way that Celtic would be able to win the league at that stage is if we beat Falkirk. Sorry, we didn't beat Falkirk, and Celtic smashed Hearts like 4-0, which probably won't happen. So, you know, we might see a bit more lying down in the last day, but as far as I'm concerned, if we win our next three games, then worst case scenario, Celtic aren't winning the league. So if I talk about throwing the game tomorrow so that Celtic don't win the league, right, that's fine, but we don't win it either. Are we no better just winning the next three games so that Celtic don't win it anyway, and then we still give ourselves somewhat of a chance?
Yeah,
are we no better doing that? And in that sort of wee mini scenario that I said off the top of my head as well, if we can get the business done in the next three games, even if Celtic beat Motherwell, we only need Hearts to drop points in one of those games against Falkirk or Motherwell in order for us to be in a position where we'd be out in front in the last day. So we are still in it, but, you know, we're just in it, but we're still in it, and we're no DJ.
Yeah, no, exactly, as well. Like, I've seen a lot of Rangers fans as well. They're still feeling like optimistic and positive. A lot of them have just written us off completely. But in my opinion, like, if Rangers do go win the next two games, you would be like, okay, Rangers got to be strong favourites again. And I'm done like predicting who's going to win the league now, because it changes every single week, mate. Like, teams are dropping points left, right, and centre. Like, before the Motherwell game, Rangers were doing really well, won the last four games, scored 15 goals. The momentum was with Rangers. Then that Motherwell game comes out of nowhere, and it makes it even more frustrating, that result, Chris, because, no, Chris, Craig, sorry. It makes it even more frustrating, Craig, because Motherwell lost yesterday to Falkirk. And you're like, why? It's just the most typical Rangers thing of all time, where as soon as Rangers pick up some momentum and some form, that's when they're actually favourites going into a game where, like, yeah, Rangers, it's in their favour now. That's when they crumble and bottle it. And it's just so incredibly frustrating. But yes, of course, like, if Rangers are out of it, you want Hearts to win it. But as you were saying, like, we need to take care of ourselves, and we still have a chance. We still have a chance. So I'm not writing us off just yet. And if Rangers win tomorrow, like, I'll be really, I wouldn't say really confident, right? But I would be feeling really optimistic that Rangers can go to Parkhead and get a result. I really would be feeling confident about that, because it's all about the Hearts game tomorrow. I'm more nervous about the Hearts game than I am about Parkhead, because obviously the Celtic game will take care of itself. Celtic under Martin O'Neill, they're not playing well, but they're getting results, right? They're grinding out results. But obviously, just Rangers just need to take care of themselves. Because I know Danny Rowe has been going on a lot about, look at the position that we're in October, all that kind of thing. And I do think he's done a good job. I do, but he's been banging on about these cup finals, right? I know it's a cliche thing to say, but tomorrow is the biggest cup final of them all, where it's do or die for these players. And Nico Raskin's one player that he's one that really needs to step up tomorrow, Craig. He really does. Like, yes, he is a good player. He has all the fundamentals of a good midfielder, but he was poor last week against Motherwell, and he's a player that really needs to step up and prove his worth, because we're going to be counting on him tomorrow. Because if he is a passenger tomorrow and doesn't actually have a big part to play, and Rangers fail to get the job done, there'll be serious questions asked about him, because everyone online's like, yeah, he should be the next Rangers captain, next Rangers captain. Well, if that's the case, prove your worth tomorrow against Hearts at Tynecastle in a big game where we need to get a result.
I'm not asking, to be honest. I want him to be sold regardless in the summer. I've got to a point now, and obviously I hope he comes really good and plays amazing in the next few games, but he's too inconsistent. He shows up and he plays when he wants to play, when he can be bothered, and we don't need that going forward. And even if we do manage to win the league somehow, there's still going to be big changes required in the summer, because, you know, we're not going to win the league next season with the same form and the same results that we've had next season. And I hope that the club realise that, even if we do win the league. Obviously, we'll absolutely take it and we'll be buzzing about it. It would be really sweet to do it. But at the same time, we still need to think about the future. It is weird. I mean, look, when you look at Celtic, Scott, you've hit the nail on the head. I think tomorrow is a more tougher game than going to Parkhead. I'm more nervous about tomorrow than I'm going to Parkhead. Watched Celtic last two games. I've watched most of their games this season. They're not a good side. They really are not a good side. And their first two games in a split, it was the easy games for them. Hibs and Falkirk, the two easiest games you could have had. If Celtic had to handpick two fixtures, in fact, I would go as far as saying if Celtic had to pick five fixtures in the split, they would have picked the ones that they got. But that's a story for another day. But they struggled big time in these two games. Against Falkirk last week, the two goals in the first half comes from Maida pressing and the Falkirk player switching off. It wasn't a great piece of play by Celtic or a great bit of skill. Falkirk came back into the game. They had chances. Their player scored the belter of a goal, and then they're chasing the game late on, and you know, Celtic hit them in the counter-attack and get a third. That's against a team that's, what, fifth, sixth?
The worst
team that you could play at home, and they're struggling in the last few minutes to beat them. Today, I think, was a bigger telling point, because you seen what Celtic done to St Mirren when it got to extra time a couple of weeks ago. I genuinely was thinking that Celtic were going to batter Hibs 4 or 5-0 today. And I know we joked about the whole lying down thing. Like I say, that game today, it was a training game. I don't want to say they weren't trying or anything like that, but let's just say the intensity of the Hibs players and the supporters was just not there today.
What supporters? No one was there.
No. They lay off Celtic. You know, it was a training game. And then you've got McGrath making that weird chat like when nothing was happening in the game, and then he just so happens to make a wild challenge in an off area of the pitch. Bit odd, you know, but, you know, we move on. And you could even see it with the goal that Hibs scored, the equalised. I mean, I don't even think they played any goal music. They normally played the Proclaimers when Hibs scored. They weren't playing that. The whole stadium was quiet. I think Joe Newell high-fived somebody with a sort of ironic smile on his face. And that was it. So I was expecting Celtic to tank them today. And if that is how Celtic are playing against a team like Hibs, which is going to be their easiest game of the split, a team that were basically hand-wrapping Celtic 3 points. Like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not just saying this, I would not be surprised if Celtic don't win another league game this season. You know, they've got us next week, they've got Motherwell away, who they've lost to before there this season, and then Hearts in the final day. It's not out with the realms of possibility that Celtic might have just had their last league win today. And this is the kind of positivity that we need to take going forward into these games.
No, definitely, because that's the thing with Celtic right now. They're not playing well. They're not a good team. It's the worst Celtic team of my lifetime. But they're just scraping by. And I think one thing they've got in that team ahead of everyone else is the fact that they have got players who have been there, done it. Like, you mentioned Maeda as well. He's going to be off in the summer, but he's turning up for these remaining games, and he's been doing it as of late, so he will be quite a problem for Rangers next week, so he could be a big a plus for them going into the remaining games. But yeah, that's the thing. It would not shock me if Celtic weren't to win another league game this season, because they didn't play well against Falkirk last week. Everyone was expecting Celtic to beat Hibs today. That happened, and Celtic weren't exactly great. They were playing against 10 men Hibs as well, when Hibs obviously nearly scored towards the end as well, we got an equaliser. But yeah, that's saying Celtic, they're not playing well, and they are there for the taking. And obviously this is a different Celtic side that we'll be playing at Parkhead, like obviously compared to the one in January. Because if Rangers win, as I said, if Rangers win tomorrow at Tynecastle, Danny Rowe will have those players right up for the game against Celtic. And I actually do believe the players will be right up for it, because they'll be like, okay, like we just beat Hearts. That was our biggest game of the season. Now let's go to Parkhead. We've been here before. We've beaten Celtic before. We've played Celtic last two times at Ibrox. And that thing, Celtic were terrible for whatever reason. We just could not find the back of the net in the Scottish Cup game. Obviously, in the 2-0 game, yeah, I think Danny Rowe got a lot wrong in that second half where he sat off Celtic, he allowed them to grow into the game. He made one or two decisions that didn't make sense. Then obviously Celtic were lucky to get a point. But even when you look at the last two Old Firm games as well, Craig, Celtic were poor in them, but just managed to get something from both. Beating Rangers on penalties and then getting a draw at Parkhead, getting a draw at Ibrox. So yeah, that's the thing. If Rangers win tomorrow, I would really fancy our chances going to Parkhead and actually beating Celtic, because I do feel like even a draw at Parkhead, would that be enough? I'm not too sure. I feel like the next two games is 6 points for us. We need to win the next two. And then if Rangers win the next two, I would be like, okay, we've got a great chance now of going on and winning this title.
If we win the next two, then Hibs will beat us at Ibrox and they'll probably line down to us as well. That's how bad it'll be.
The most Rangers thing to do.
The most Rangers and the most Hibs thing to do, just wrapped up in one night. When you look at the Old Firm games this season, I mean, see, when you think about it, the only time that I felt really threatened by Celtic was that first half in January under Nancy.
I agree. They
battered us. They should have been like 3-0 up. The other games, the game in August was a snow fest. The League Cup game, they just edged the first half, but then we obviously get the man Asgard sent off. We battered them in the second half. We didn't have enough in extra time. Obviously that game in January, and then, you know, for most of the 2 weeks game, we battled them. They just found a way to get back in it. And the Scottish Cup game, it was much of the, I thought we were the better team in that as well. So people forget, Celtic haven't beaten us in 90 minutes for like 9 or 10 games. You have to go back, I think, 2 years now.
2024.
Yeah, and
3-0,
aye. Yeah, and I said before the split, that even in one draw for Celtic and it's fatal. I felt that Celtic had to win every single game just to have a chance. So, you know, if we beat them next week, regardless of what happens tomorrow, then I think they're done. But looking to tomorrow, Scott, I mean, it is going to be a tough game. Hearts are kind of similar to Celtic in the sense that they're just finding a way to win right now. I mean, I didn't watch the game against Motherwell a few weeks ago, but by all accounts, Motherwell battled them, and then, you know, they scored two or three late goals, and, you know, Hearts get the 3 points. But it's still going to be a tough game, regardless of how they've been playing. But I don't know. There's just, I've got a feeling we're going to go and win tomorrow. It's just a feeling of mine, but, you know, How are Hearts going to approach it, do you think? Because it's a weird one for them as well, you know, because I think a lot of Hearts fans are now starting to go, you know, squeaky bum time now and get a bit nervous. So are they going to come out and go for the win, or do you think they'd be playing and be happy with a point?
I think they would be happy with a point. They'd be over the moon with that. But I actually think tomorrow McInnes is going to have them right up for it, because he'll be like, right, let's put Rangers out of sight here. But at Tynecastle, we've got our fans behind us. And obviously defensively as of late, Craig, we've been woeful. We're conceding goals left, right and centre. So I think Hearts will be going for it tomorrow right from the word go. And I think Rangers will be the exact same. And that's why I think tomorrow we'll see a good few goals. And I said earlier on, I think Rangers will win it 3-2. But yeah, I think tomorrow will be a good advert for Scottish football, because it's going to be a very exciting game. It's not going to be one of those ones where it's going to be a 0-0 snooze fest. Because... like, that's the thing. Like, if Hearts put us out of sight tomorrow, that's when they'll really be like, okay, we can kick on now.
If Hearts win tomorrow, they'll win the league, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree, yeah.
And if they do win tomorrow, I hope they win the league.
Aye, same here. Aye, that's the thing. Like, because that's the thing as well. If they really want to go win this title, there's no point just shutting up shop and being like, okay, let's try and get a point against Rangers. No, like, if you want to win the league, put Rangers out of it. Put them out of their misery. So I think it will be a very exciting game, a nerve-wracking game. So I know you're coming down to Mainz tomorrow for it. So it's, I don't think I've been this nervous for a game since Frankfurt 4 years ago. Like, I've been nervous all week about this one. And yeah, it's going to be electric, literally. But I'm just as I was saying earlier, I'm just worried in case Danny Rowe overthinks this, because I just don't want to make any silly changes like he done last week, but he didn't start Moore. I don't want to see Asgard anywhere near that team tomorrow. Honestly, I don't mind Stirling starting, right? I would start Stirling, but if I see Stirling at right back and I see Asgard on that team, I'm going to lose my mind, mate. I'm going to lose my mind. Because the team I would go tomorrow is, I would go Butland, Tav, Stirling, Nani Fernandez, Romans, and then obviously midfield two, I would go Rask and Chukwane, then Mikey Moore, Gassama, up top Nadiri, and Chermiti. Because, yeah, a lot of people have been saying, yeah, maybe we shouldn't start Romans or Nadiri, but, yeah, listen, start your big guns. Just go for it. And the thing that worries me is, I think Robe, like, you know what, it's probably too soon for you guys, probably just keep you on the bench. And that's what does concern me. But just go with the big guns and see what happens. Just throw everything at it, because it's a must win tomorrow, because as we're saying, a draw will not be enough for us. It will not be.
We've got to go for it, Scott. We mentioned the team, and that's all going to a wider point of conversation about the manager. I am worried that he's going to overthink it tomorrow as well. He done it the Motherwell and Hibs games, the two back-to-back away ones that we had. It was almost as if he went to Easter Road in Firth Park thinking, oh, a draw is okay. It's not. Especially that Motherwell game, you know, going the Hibs game, it was just a rubbish game, to be quite honest. And you do get games like that, but you know, the Motherwell game, we go a goal up after 3 or 4 minutes, and we should have battered them and been out of sight that night. We just invited pressure on the whole game. It was the same against Celtic. It was the opposite against Livy and against Falkirk and against Motherwell there, because we've given them 2-goal head starts, and we're coming out all guns blazing in the second half and managing to pull it back to an extent. But I don't know. It seems as if he's just throwing, you know what, at the wall and hoping that it will stick. The only team out of the top three that have been consistent this year when it's came to team selections has been Hearts. And I think Danny Rowe keeps talking about October, and this is the thing that's now really starting to annoy me and irk me. Nobody cares about October. They were 8th in October. My granny could have came in and done a better job than Russell Martin, okay? So see this whole, he's gotten his back into a title race. Yeah, that's fine. But I said it before, we don't hire managers at Rangers to get us into a race. We hire them to win the race. That is your job, it's to win the race. And I'm very, very worried for him, I must admit. Now, we could go and storm Hearts tomorrow, storm Celtic next week, and everything's rose in the garden again. But if we get beat tomorrow and we're out of contention for the league, I really worry for him. He's been quoted this season, and I think it was before that cup game, is saying we have to win a trophy this season. And if it goes the way of you lost to Celtic in the League Cup, you lost to Celtic in the Scottish Cup, and some of the games earlier this season, the Hibs game, the Motherwell game, the Celtic game at home, Livy last week against Motherwell, we could hand-wrap Celtic a double. Or in fact, we could have hand-wrapped them a treble. It was just that St Mirren beat them in the final. That stopped one of those potential trophies being won. This is the situation that we're in. In the next 2 weeks, they could be champions, or, I mean, you're just talking about starting this cycle all over again. And I must admit, if we don't win the league, especially if we finish third, I would be inclined to get rid of him and not even give him the summer, because he's had money to spend in January. He brought in his own players. The reason that we spent big money in January was because we could go for this Champions League place. And we were only 1 or 2 points off the pace in January, I think, after the Celtic game. You've got the second half of the season to play for. As soon as we beat Celtic that day at Parkhead 3-1, and we basically got within a point or two of Hearts, that was the time to say, right, it's not October anymore, the past is in the past, we move forward, We win all the games, we go and win the league. It's not happened. And oddly, I actually think since he signed his own players, that has been when these issues have seeped in. Now, if you look at the signings that he made, he's made four of them. On paper, yep, they look good. In practice, does Romans look a player? Absolutely. Nadiri, yep, you can tell he's got something about him. Scott Wilson, all right, he's been rubbish, but he does have something about him, obviously. The only player that's consistently performed, and I don't even think he's done amazing, I think he's been okay, is Chukwuane. He's the only person that has consistently played out of his four January signings. So two of his signings are injured. Another one's a guy who's not even going to bring on when, you know, we're getting beat 3-2 at home off of Millerwell at home. So people are talking about giving this guy another window in the summer. I mean, his track record in January so far, it's not looking good. And again, Romans and Nadiri, they look like great players. If you don't show up for your work, you're of no use to us.
Yeah, like, obviously, I do understand some of your points with Danny Rowe, and I'm a big fan of his. I think so far he's done a good job in terms of, like, I know he has been banging on about October, right? But obviously, we were in a mess, and he did inherit a mess, and he did get us back in a title race, so he does deserve credit for that. But for me, I've always, like, stood by this, where I think regardless what happens this season, I think he deserves a summer. Obviously, some of the signings that he's made in January, of course, like, Romans looks like a player, Nadiri looks like a player, but as you say, like, obviously, they have been injured as of late. Chukwuane, he looks very consistent. He's not exactly set the house on fire, but he does look decent. When you look at Scott Wilson, he's been a flop. I think the only way he stays at Rangers is if he turns into a world beat on the next four games. I don't see that happening. But I'm just sick to death of just going through the same cycle, Craig, of, like, sacking managers. For me, I think Danny Rowe has showed enough that he has something about him. But this is one thing that does concern me. I'm seeing a lot of folk online. I know it's online, right? It's not really the real world, but it is, like, the small minority, and sometimes the small minority can become so vocal. But it does concern me. If Rangers weren't to win this league this season, I think you will see quite a lot of fans turn. But personally, I won't be one of them. But I would have some concerns, because he did spend quite a bit in January, and we have dropped silly points. But I am concerned that some of the fans will turn. I know the 49ers did say that they are going to back Danny Rowe in the summer, but they have changed their mind before. They did come out and say they'd be back Russell Martin. When Russell Martin was struggling, look what happened, they got the sack. They kept Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thirlwell in position after they appointed Danny Rowe. Then they got rid of him. So just because Andrew Kavanagh came out and said that he's going to back Danny Rowe in the summer doesn't mean that he won't change his mind. It wouldn't shock me, if I'm being honest. But put it this way, if we don't win anything this season and just say there's a better candidate available in the summer, right? And I like Danny Rowe a lot, as I said. But if we have the option to get Steven Gerrard in the summer, I would go for Gerrard. I would be like, okay, if we can get Steven Gerrard, and...
Well, there you go. If you're admitting that Danny Rowe's not the best man for the job, then he's a dead man walking already, isn't he?
But I'm not necessarily saying that, right? But if
you're saying... And I agree with you on that. I mean, if Gerrard's available and he wants to come back, we can get him. I'd go and get him. But I think we're all kind of saying that it's not a personal thing with Danny Rowe. I like him as well. And I do kind of feel now that you have to say, I like this guy, before you go and criticise someone professionally. You know what I mean? Like, you can criticise people professionally, but still like them as a person and whatnot. But it's just this sort of online world now where you need to be either 100% for something or 100% against something. But... Like, you mentioned a couple of the things there, and I have been quite worried about this since Danny Rowe got appointed. And again, nothing personal on him. It's the strategy of the club and Kavanagh and the 49ers now. Either went and spent a shit ton of money in January and in the summer, but it seems very much like what Chelsea have been doing. You know what I mean? Like, signing young players on high wages, big transfer fees, unknown quantities. I think, all right, they'll come good in a year or two, and you know, this whole Moneyball thing. That's not a strategy that works in Scotland, at Rangers or Celtic. You can't do that here. Now, Hearts are doing something similar, but obviously it's on a much lower scale. And that's been fast-tracked this year because of how bad Rangers and Celtic have been. But you don't get time when you're at Ibrox to do this sort of stuff. And when it came to the manager as well, they had Gerrard was the first choice, Muscat was the second choice, Danny Rowe was the third choice. People do forget that we now have our third choice manager in charge. Fourth choice, if you actually go back to the summer with Russell Martin being appointed. Right? So that's never a good thing. But the thing that concerned me with that wasn't so much the appointment of Danny Rowe itself, it was a strategy. Every candidate was different. Now, surely, if you've got a proper strategy in place for recruiting managers, you've got a shortlist of maybe five. Those five managers, they're not obviously going to be exactly the same, but they'll have something similar. You know, they'll have similar characteristics throughout. Look at Man City. Guardiola's probably going to leave in the summer. He's probably going to be replaced by Enzo Maresca. City see that as a light-for-light change. Barcelona do it all the time, where they were bringing through the B-team coach to replace the next manager, etc, etc. You look at most big clubs, it'll be the same managers that are linked with the job, but Ancelotti, Zidane, Mourinho, Klopp, big name, big character managers that go and get the job done. With us, we had Steven Gerrard, who's like the sort of the figurehead, the mentality guy. You then had Kevin Muscat, who was the style of play guy. And then you had Danny Rowe there as well, who's sort of the new kid on the block, a young and experienced coach, but with potential. All three managers were completely different. And then the thing that really annoys me is that Gerrard and Muscat didn't come because he didn't want to work with Patrick Stewart and Kevin Fellwell. And then we bring in a guy that we didn't really want to bring in the first place, and then we sack the two like a month later. Like, it doesn't make sense. And I'm just worried about the sort of direction of travel that the club is going in, because I'm looking at us right now and I'm just seeing Chelsea the last year or two, to be quite honest. I think that's probably the closest comparison I can think of. But bringing in young and experienced players, young and experienced managers who, yeah, we can see they've got something about them. You can see Danny Rowe's got something about him. You can see Chumbity's got something about him. Even Asgard, you can see he's got something about him. But it doesn't work at Rangers, I don't think. Not long term, anyway.
Mm. Yeah, because that's the thing. I think the 49ers do have Rangers' best interests at heart, right? I don't doubt that for a second, because they have backed the managers in place, like obviously Russell Martin and Danny Rowe. But one thing it does concern me is some of the decision-making this season has been baffling, because if Rangers had just got rid of Patrick Stewart and Kevin Fairwell along with Russell Martin at the exact same time, we could be talking about Rangers going on to... We could be talking about Rangers top league right now with Steven Gerrard as manager, because Gerrard would have jumped at the chance to come back, but he was at...
If Steven Gerrard was appointed instead of Danny Rowe, we'd probably be about 5 or 6 points clearly now. See with the amount of bad results that Celtic have had, and Hearts have always had a good season, right, for their standards, but you know, 9 seasons out of 10, the 81 or 82 points that they get will be nowhere near winning a league. I reckon if we did get Gerrard in, he would have got a bounce straight away. I know Danny Rowe kind of got a bounce, and then he would have got guys in January to basically be his spine, and I do reckon we would be, you know, pretty comfortable in front if we appointed him. But you know, that is what it is. You kind of change the path.
Aye. But yeah, just obviously in terms of like Danny Rowe, though, like just going back to what we were saying, like I'm not Danny Rowe out, and as I said, regardless what happens this season, I still think he deserves a summer, because he has, for me, showed what he is capable of. And as I said to you, I'm just sick to death of going through the cycle of sacking manager, because it's just getting beyond a joke now. So I'm like, okay, let give him a summer, see what he can do. And obviously not to just keep going on about October, but he did inherit a mess and he has got us back into a race. And will it be, obviously that's the thing, will he win the league or not, but we've got a good chance of doing so. And who knows, mate, we could, in the next few weeks, we can be talking about Danny Rowe as an absolute legend, because he's just won us our 56th league title, and a lot can change. a lot can change. But I do understand some of your concerns surrounding Danny Rowe. But put it this way, even though I do really like him a lot, if the option was there in the summer to bring back Steven Gerrard, I'll be thinking with my heart, because I love Stevie G, and I've always said I would take him back in an absolute heartbeat, because, like, everyone always bangs on about, yeah, he only won one trophy in nine. I'm like, I don't care. He won the big one. He was brought in to stop Celtic doing 10 in a row, win 55. He'd done that, and that was the most important league title in our lifetime. So for me, obviously, there is pressure on Danny Rowe, and I'm just a bit concerned that if he fails to win the league, I can see a lot of fans turning on him. But obviously, in terms of the 49ers, though, and what you were saying, yeah, I do believe they've got the Rangers' best interests at heart, and I feel like they are learning on the job, because when they took over Rangers, I think they underestimated how big of a task it was going to be. They thought, right, you know what, we're going to appoint Russell Martin, he won the English Championship, surely he can win the Scottish Premiership. It was a complete opposite. So I think we're in good hands with the 49ers. I think they will get it right, and they already showed that they're willing to back managers, which is a good thing. They've got money, they're willing to spend it, and I think they're going to be here for the long haul, and I do trust them. So I just, obviously, their decision making will get better over time, and I'm glad as well that they have given Danny Rowe like kind of free rein in the transfer market, because like sport directors, I'm not a huge fan of. I think the manager should be in charge of their own signings. But obviously, in modern football, when you look at Chelsea, they've got like five sporting directors. Like, they're a basket case of a club, even though their owners are willing to spend money. They're an absolute mess. I don't even recognise Chelsea anymore. But yeah, that's the thing, mate. The next few weeks, we could be talking about Danny Rowe as a Rangers icon, because he's delivered a league title for us. But tomorrow, I really don't know what to expect in terms of the team lineup. I really don't know. I just hope he gets it right, doesn't overthink it. But, you know, I'm feeling optimistic. I think Rangers will get the job done. I'm going to go a 3-2 Rangers, mate. And if Rangers win that, I'll be like, okay, let's go to Parkhead, win that, and then I think we'll beat Hibs and we'll beat Falkirk, to be honest, because these next two games are our two major cup finals, because I don't see us dropping points to Falkirk. I don't, because they've pretty much, I don't think they're going to have really anything to play for. Maybe they could finish fifth ahead of Hibs, and then they obviously can potentially get European football if Celtic win the Scottish Cup, which they probably will, right? But we win the next two games, we'll beat Hibs, we'll beat Falkirk, and then I think we'll be champions if we win the next four.
All positive in the Bradley household tonight.
Have to be, mate.
Aye. Being a positive, then, would you start to have tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier on. No, 100%. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a big Tavernier fan, but like, that's the thing. See, when it comes to big games, especially against Hearts, you need to start to have. He's our most experienced player. He thrives in big games, and he thrives in these occasions. And especially down the right-hand side, he offers so much going forward. So much going forward. And Sterling, yes, he's fine at right back, but he's not the same player as Tav, and he can't drive forward the way Tav does. So yes, start Sterling, but centre half, don't have Sterling at right back. And honestly, as I said to you, I'll lose my mind if he doesn't start Tav. But that thing as well, I was speaking to my pal about this, right? I don't think we really need to be so much focused on like Hearts. I think we need to be focused on, right, we need to score goals and put them outside. We can't be focused on, right, we need to try and shut up shop and try and defend. And like, no, we need to be focused on score goals, right? Because obviously, a lot of people are concerned about Tav, obviously, playing it right back tomorrow, might get caught out. Yeah, I'd rather Tav, it contributes to maybe two or three goals and then maybe messes up one. I'd rather that. So we need to just focus on ourselves. Don't focus on Hearts. Focus on ourselves and make sure we get this job done tomorrow. Because I feel like this is one thing I'm worried about. I think Danny Rowe's going to be too focused on Hearts, because he's like, oh, Tynecastle, they'll be up for it. Let's try and play defence. We'll try and get a goal and then nick it. No, just go for it. Just go for it. Be right on the front foot, right from the word go, and get these 3 points.
Yeah. I'm inclined to start to have tomorrow as well, Scott. If it's me, to be quite honest, Sterling was absolutely rotten last week. Tav definitely should have started last week, and that's not in hindsight. I think, well, it's going to say moving forward, but he's obviously leaving, but he should be playing in the games where you're going to be going out, all guns blazing, need to win, get the job done, and get the ball forward. That's what you need Tav for. You play Sterling, you know, if it's like a big game away in Europe or away at Parkhead where you're going to be sitting in for a lot of the game and you're trying to defend and, you know, play cat and mouse. Aye, Sterling should play in those games, but like Motherwell at home, I mean, you should be playing Tav against Motherwell at home, and You could see this, you know, when he came on the second half, how much was it just him right enough, but the tempo did change. Wasn't too happy with Sterling moving to left back, to be honest. Whether Magoma had an injury or not, I don't know. Sterling, when he's fit, has been a pretty good performer for us, but last week, I don't know what he was doing. Just not good. And aye, as you say, the whole getting forward thing as well. Centre back, I take it you'd continue with Giga and Fernandez.
No, I was saying earlier on, I would go, I was actually with Sterling at centre half. I would, like, my back four would be Tav, Sterling, Manny Fernandez, and then obviously I'll go Romans. That's what I would do. Because obviously, like, Manny Fernandez and Nasser Jega, as of late, they've been leaking in goals for fun. And to be fair, they have been decent for a small part of the second half of this season. But I would just go with Sterling and Manny Fernandez. I think Sterling is solid as a centre half. Okay at right back, but for a game tomorrow, we need to go with Tav. Because, like, you need that. If you want to win this game tomorrow and you want to be on the front foot, you need to go with Tav. Because he is still one of our more creative players. And like, not to go in a big thing about Tav's contract, but I actually thought he deserved at least one more year. But I was surprised, obviously, he is moving on, because he's not going to start every game next season if he was still going to be here, but he's still an asset. He can still contribute in ways, but I don't think he wanted to be a bit part player, and I can understand why, because obviously you're the captain. He must feel quite embarrassed to be on the bench for most games. And that thing as well, like, you're playing in the Scottish Premiership. I don't know why Danny Rowe's just trying to, like, oust him a bit. So it is what it is, but I just think,
look at you, Scott. You're backing a manager that's getting rid of your favourite player. It's happening. I've been a big critic of his over the years and supporter. I've been a supporter of Tav over the years, right? But you know what people are like? As soon as you criticise somebody, they think that you hate them. I love Tav. He's been an absolutely amazing servant for Rangers. But he has had his faults over the years. And I definitely think some games he maybe shouldn't be playing in. But, you know, we need to remember, like, who's going to replace him? You look at over the years, nobody's been good enough. And when you've seen Sterling make those great performances a year or two ago when he came into the team, you're thinking, right, brilliant, we've got his replacement. And he just gets injured all the time. Looking at Sterling's performance last week especially, if you're trying to tell me that's going to be the long-term right-back replacement, no, not for me. We need to go out in the summer and sign a young guy, or, you know, maybe we'll get someone coming through the youth academy. But he's a guy, Scott, who's been available for every game this season. We can all see he's lost a yard of pace, but you're losing your most consistent performer over the last however many years. So as much as we talk about goals and assists and all that, yeah, they will be hard to replace. But for me, it's the longevity and the availability of him, because he could go down to England, maybe a sort of lower Premier League team or an upper Championship team. I can see him playing every game next season, regardless of where he goes. I think he could play for another 3-4 years at a pretty high level consistently. So the whole be careful what you wish for King, I think.
No, I agree. Like, that's the thing where, like, he's still an asset. He's a top goal scorer this season. And look how important he's been over the years. Like, it just shows you, like, Nathan Patterson, when he was at Rangers, you've seen all the potential with him, right? Like, Nathan Patterson, real top player. He couldn't even get in the team ahead of Tav. That's why he went, obviously, down south.
Look at Patterson. He's spending most of his time in accident and emergency during Liverpool.
Literally, aye. And, yeah, and that's thing as well you say about Tav. He's always fit, always reliable, never injured. I think the longest period of time that he's been injured for was about 3 weeks. And that was a few years ago. And yeah, that sounds well. Like, you won't know how important Tav is until he's gone. And like, he deserves this league title more than anyone. And it is a shame, the fact that he's not going to be here one more year. And yeah, people always want to talk about, yeah, he's only won 3 trophies. Yeah, look at some of the teams Tav's played in over the years. If they were as good as Tav in here, or if you put Barry Ferguson, some of the teams Tav's played in, I think Rangers would have won the same amount of trophies, if I'm being totally honest. And I think time will be very kind to Tavernier. And for me, he is a Rangers legend. And just to finish off, mate, for me, he's the best right back to ever grace Scottish football.
Aye. We know you think that, mate. It's okay. Right, before we go, we've mentioned the defence. Who are you going for in midfield?
In the midfield, I'm going to go Raskin, Chikawane, then obviously Mikey Moore out left, then outright Gassama. Then up top, I'm going Nidiri and Chirmiti.
All right, so you're going the old-fashioned 4-4-2, fair enough. Personally, if it was me, I'd bring Barron in for Braskin, but that's not going to happen. But I don't pick the team, unfortunately. No, so that's fine, Scott. So what you saying, 3-2 to Rangers then tomorrow?
3-2 to Rangers, mate. 3-2 to Rangers. What about yourself?
3-0. I'll be more positive than you. Who cares? It's a bank holiday weekend. No, that's good. It's been a good chat tonight, mate. I've enjoyed being on with you again.
Pleasure as always, mate, and I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, making your debut in the Bradley Gaff.
Yep, that'll be fun. We'll be Scott back on again tomorrow. He'll be a guest. It'll be Rob Holston, and they'll be on with Alan Rogers as well. But Scott, thanks for joining me, and thanks to the audience at home. Hopefully we can get the job done tomorrow. See you later. Bye-bye.